Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship, whether you're here with us in person or watching online. We're so glad that you're part of these moments of worship we're sharing together. It's a beautiful day. We hope it is where you are, too. And with the Lord in our lives, every day can be a great day. So as we come before him, it's to worship. We will sing, we will pray, we will hear the word. And we just want to respond and receive all that God has for us and then prepare to take it out to the world to share it with everyone we know. So as we begin today, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your presence in our lives. We're grateful that you created this world. You gave each of us life. And when things went wrong, you sent Jesus to heal us, to restore us, and to give us peace, even in this fallen world. We're grateful for that, and we give thanks for your touch and your care throughout the week. Now, as we've gathered on the first day of the week, we want to glorify you and remember the power of the resurrection, as Christians have always done. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Pour into our lives, Lord, a fresh touch from your Spirit. Help us to be faithful to you and to love our neighbors ourselves. And we pray all of this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. At this time, we'll sing.
Beside you.
we don't always think about love making us strong, but the love of God does just that. And so we can build our lives on that love. We can build our lives on the truth that that love reveals to us. So today, as we go to prayer, we want to remember those who are sick. I have my second vaccination this week, and I'm having a bit of an immune response, so I don't have the energy I usually have, but I'm grateful. Hopefully in a couple of weeks, I'll be fully vaccinated, and that'll be great. We want to pray for those who are sick, though. Barb has asked us to pray for her neighbor, Bob, who has COVID. He was put into the ICU over the weekend, so please pray for Bob. We want to pray for our world as well, and Joy, if you'll come to lead us in prayer, and pray for our discipleship as we follow the Lord, that we would be faithful in every way in fulfilling our mission.
Let us pray. Our holy and merciful God, we give thanks for your gift of Jesus to us and what that gift means to each and every one of us. And Father, we love you, and we're so grateful for your goodness. We thank you for this beautiful sunshiny day. And Father, I know it lifts the spirits of many for the sunshine. And Father, I give thanks for all your many blessings. We give thanks for the power of prayer. And we thank you for your mercy, and your healing, your caring, and your love. And Father, we pray for those that are struggling physically. We pray especially for Bob, who is in ICU. We pray, Father, that you will touch him. We pray for the medical people that are caring for him. And Father, we pray that they will allow themselves to be led by your Holy Spirit. We pray, dear God, for healing. And we give thanks for those that care about others to lift them into prayer. And Father, as we're here, we're lifting all others who might be struggling physically in any way that come within our circle of influence. Father, we are believing in your mighty healing power. Dear Lord, as we're here today, we thank you for your love and your forgiveness. And we know that you don't hold things against us, that we move on and look to the future and to the many blessings that you have in store for us. We give thanks for family and friends. We give thanks for acquaintances we have. And dear God, you have appointed us as your ambassadors. And we're to go out into the world and tell others about Jesus. And our world may be just our family, maybe our block, our neighborhood, our work environment, whoever it is. Let us tell others about Jesus by the way we live our lives, by the way we care for others. And Father, I pray for each and every home that's represented here this day. May our homes be havens of peace, where we put Christ at the center of the family. We pray for our church. I pray for our fund that we have for our new HVAC purchase. And dear God, I give thanks for all those that are faithfully giving. And Lord, I pray for today's offering, that it will be sufficient to care for the needs of this church this week. Father, I pray for our pastor as he brings the message. We give thanks now that he has had his second vaccine shot. And Father, we pray that he will be able to be more fully engaged in things. And dear God, we give thanks that he's doing so well. We give thanks for his caring, and we give thanks for the fact that he allows your Holy Spirit to guide him. Father, I pray for all those who have any unspoken request. You know the deepest needs that are in our hearts. And Father, we just open ourselves to you. We give these needs over to you. We have faith that your will be done. We love you so very much, and we give thanks for all things. And it's in your holy and precious name that I pray. Amen. Amen.
This time we go to the Word of God, so we'll be in the book of Acts, chapter 8. So let's stand together in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Open your heart to the word of the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to his chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" He invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About him or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of God. You can be seated. The Spirit moved, and when he did, the Spirit needs to move someone to let Linda in. She's at the window back here, all right? Okay, so, but the Spirit of God came to Philip and spoke to him. Now, aren't you grateful that the Spirit of God comes to us and speaks to us? Amen? We should not take that for granted. It's no small thing when the Lord of heaven decides to whisper in our ear. And in chapter 8, verse 26, as we just read, it says, "Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road.' So we got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship." And so the angel of the Lord comes and says, "Get up and go." And so he got up and went, right? Now, that's just a few words together in a sentence there. Get up and go, and so he got up and went. But so much is loaded there. I could preach a whole sermon on just that. In fact, maybe that's what I'm going to do today. Get up and go, so he got up and went. Let's just say that together. Get up and go, so he got up and went. Now, that's something to write and put on your mirror or on the refrigerator or on the lock screen on your phone. When God speaks, we can choose to respond. And nothing, absolutely nothing important happens in this story unless Philip is first of all tuned in. Amen? First of all, Philip has to hear and know and understand that the angel of the Lord is speaking to him. Now, it's interesting. In most passages where the Spirit of the Lord shows up, how do people usually respond? They're usually absolutely terrified, right? It's usually an intimidating situation. But when Philip somehow hears from God in this way, he just simply responds. So I think that we know that Philip was a man who lived in a way that was attentive to God's leading. And that is a great way to live because it leads to wonderful and surprising things. And I just want to urge you personally to be tuned in and listening to God's leading, because I've had some amazing experiences by being willing to try to live that way. Now, I have to assume I'm not as good as Philip. I have to assume that there's things perhaps I miss out on without being as tuned in as I could. But I remember three specific situations that led to wonderful, wonderful things. One situation was, maybe almost 15 years ago now, and I was pastoring in this area, and I was there in my office, and I was trying to finish a sermon that just wouldn't land. But I was determined to get that work done. So I had stayed late, I had skipped dinner, and I was trying to type away, and then I would delete what I had written, and I just kept working at it. Well, there was a man who lay in the hospital, not doing very well, a man who really had rejected all of his family, had nothing to do with anyone, and who was not very responsive. Someone had told me about him, and a time or two I had tried to visit him. He didn't even turn down the television while I was in the room with him. I didn't know if I was doing any good, but I had prayed with him a couple times. So I'm there working away, and the Lord seemed to say, "Get up and go see this man." And I was like, "Lord, I need this sermon ready, right, for Sunday. I'm doing a good thing right now, and I don't know if this man even responds to the things that I do. Why would I drive all the way down to where he is far away and do that?" So I just kept working on my sermon, assuming that it wasn't really the Lord. But the Lord tapped on my shoulder again and said, "Go see this man." And I was like, "I'm not even sure I have the energy to do that." And then a couple minutes later, the Lord said, "Look, do I have to get me another boy, or are you going to go and see this man?" And I was like, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to do it. I don't understand it. There's no way I can make it by the end of visiting hours, but I'm going to go because you really, really told me to go." So I got in my car and I drove in, and sure enough, I was 10 minutes late for visiting hours when I got there. But no one was at the desk, right? So now I managed to sneak in. So now it's kind of a Mission Impossible type situation. So I'm assuming he's in the same room. I'm going up the stairs and down the hall where he is, and I came to his room, and what I found was a very different man. I approached him. He turned the television off. He turned attentively to me. I began to talk to him about the fact that his health situation wasn't good and they weren't sure how much longer he was going to live. And I just wanted him to know that he could give his life to the Lord and God could forgive him, restore anything from his past, and give him peace before his time would come. I had no idea how he would respond. But I said, "Would you like to pray to do that now?" He pulled his oxygen mask away from his face to say, "Yes," as loudly as he could. And so I was so moved. I was so glad I had listened to that voice. I took him by the hand. I prayed with him. genuine tears flowed down this man's face as he gave his heart to the Lord. 2 days later, he passed away. And it was wonderful to be able to share at the funeral about what God had done. And I thought back to that moment, and I thought, oh, I'm so glad I listened to God's leading. Another time, it was a beautiful day like today. I had not planned to go, but I suddenly felt prompted to go to the Cubs game. Now, I know you're going to say, yeah, right. It was the Spirit leading you to go to the Cubs game. Well, I'm not sure if it was just my desire to go to opening day because the weather turned out better than it was. But as I was going, I thought, I'm just going to drive and I'm going to see what the roads are like. And if it's clear enough, you know, I'll buy a ticket from my phone and I'll go to the game. So I'm driving along, and then I ended up in stop and go traffic, but close enough that I thought I could still make it by game time. So, perhaps ill-advisedly, the car was stopped at the time, but I did buy tickets on my phone to the game. So I got there, struggled to find a parking place, but eventually parked in the neighborhood for free and ran in and went to my seat. And there were tons of open seats all around because the weather had been supposed to be terrible that day, but it was 70 degrees. But of course, in the seat right next to me, there was a person in that seat. But I went and I sat in that seat, and we struck up a conversation. Out of all the people there, I know all the Wrigley lore and all the stories. He was new to the area and eager to learn. So I was talking away to this perfect stranger. Turns out he had just moved from Iowa, where I grew up, and a lot of my family still lived. And it turns out that he had a spiritual yearning as well. And so we remained connected, and we became friends, and God worked in his life. And he's helped our church here. He helped us set up our internet connection, the doorbell that we have out front. He's been a good friend. And it all came from that one day, being open and being willing in that moment not to just focus on the game, but to focus on this friend that I made that day. One other situation. I was at the hospital. Some of you know this story. I was trying to get a test done. It wasn't going real well. And so I was taking a break out in the waiting area, and the Lord told me to go and sit by this person. And I thought, that's strange. They're going to think that's creepy. But I went, and I did. And then to get the conversation started, I accidentally burped out loud. And that person said, bless you. I said, I'm so sorry, but that broke the ice. We began to talk, and it turns out that she and her husband now attend our church when they're able to do so. So these were three moments, awkward moments, moments when it would have been so easy just to focus on something else, but it led to good things in the kingdom of God. So now let's come back to this story. Philip is there, and he's on the scene because the angel of the Lord and the Holy Spirit told him to go. But when he begins to talk to this man, he said that line, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And this is where we realize that this is more than an optional accessory. These aren't just bonus moments on the journey. This man in this story wanted so badly to understand who is it that is suffering in this passage, and why is it that it's important enough to be written down in the Word of God. And he was about to leave, and he was going to be traveling back across the world, really, with nothing more than a or a giant question mark that might never be answered in his lifetime. So this was a fragile moment, and so much was at stake. So should Philip say, look, Lord, I've got a lot to do today? Should he say, oh, look, this guy's a foreigner. I don't want to get into anything. We may not even speak the same language. Probably won't even understand me. Should he say, must be nice to have a chariot, right? this guy can help himself. All of those types of responses might have been understandable human responses if you're just a normal, average human being who isn't operating in the Spirit. And maybe Philip used to live that way. I don't know. But he doesn't live that way anymore. Amen? He lives on the edge of God's leading. And Philip knows the truth about Jesus. And Philip has listened to the apostles speak. And Philip has grown in his understanding of the scriptures. Now understand, he's not an apostle. He's not a preacher. He's just a dude who listens to God, all right? I'm going to say that again. He's just a dude who listens to God. Are you with me on this? He reads his Bible. He's learning. And he knows what he doesn't know, but the things that he knows, he's building on and he's growing. And he knows the difference that Jesus made in his life. And there's no way that he's going to miss an opportunity to tell someone else who wants to know about the Word of God, who wants to know about Jesus. Amen? And how can anyone understand unless someone guides them? So this is the equivalent of a guy who flew in for a conference. He's already checked in at the gate. His plane is pulled up to the terminal, but they just haven't started boarding yet, right? This is how just in the nick of time this is. Philip is so tuned in that God can do this amazing thing right on time. Well, there was that line, then the Spirit said. So let's zoom out even more. So much is going on in this moment, and so much has been going on for quite some time, or else this doesn't happen. This man is a long way from home. This man is seeking truth. He's willing to seek it even though he'll never be fully accepted. He was a eunuch, so he couldn't even be a complete proselyte to Judaism. And yet he's traveled across the world to celebrate this great festival because he wants to know the God that these people worship. And he's somehow gotten hold of the scriptures, and now he wants to know, and he wants to grow. And God saw that. Amen? And God sees that in every human heart. And he's got someone that he wants to send. Now, there are people that you would never imagine who are exactly like this man. They don't look like you. They have a very different life than yours, but they have the same needs underneath. And God loves them just as much as he loves you. Amen. And you have an incredible opportunity to change the world and to change the future of a family by obeying. All right, zoom out even more. This means God has been reaching into this man's life, orchestrating these events, putting that desire in his heart to know more, and working in Philip's life to prepare him for this type of ministry, even as a layperson. This morning, it wasn't about these people having superpowers. It was about the power of God working through simple lives, people who are just willing to go. All those little steps, get up and go. Go down this wilderness road. Go to this chariot you've never seen before. Walk up to this man and interrupt his reading. One thing good about the ancient world that helped this situation is everyone used to read out loud every time they read. And when you're alone, that's actually a good thing to do to help you remember the things that you read. But that really helped in this moment. So many small, fragile things that were orchestrated together. And now this man took the truth about Jesus to another country and to the queen of another country and to everyone who would listen to him, for he went on his way rejoicing. And here's the thing. Here's a quote from a commentary called Acts for Everyone. It says, and among all the promises, the promise of the servant, that suffering servant in that Isaiah passage, through whose death the power of evil has been broken and its punishment exhausted, stands supreme. Whether you are on a lonely road through the Gaza desert, in a great medieval chapel in Cambridge, or on your knees in the privacy of your room, God moves because God changes lives. Amen? Can we open ourselves up to listening to God's leading? Now, if you're afraid, oh, what if it wasn't God speaking? Well, I had those doubts in almost every one of the situations I told you about, but I went anyway. If you go and God doesn't want you to go, God can stop you. He made a donkey talk to stop a man from going the wrong way. So he can stop you if that's really not his leading. But better to err on the side of letting God lead, especially when the urge is to help someone to learn about the truth of Jesus. So this morning, some of us are more outgoing than others. I promise you, I'm an introvert. And yet, in these situations, God gave me everything I needed to do what he was asking me to do. It's not about personality types, but it's about living the adventure of living the mission of God every day. It's wonderfully fulfilling. It brings so many good things into our lives, but so much better. It extends all those good things to new families and makes such a difference. Would you bow your heads? Father, some of us are already all over this, and we really try to do this every day, but we might need some encouragement to keep doing it. Lord, some of us would be terrified of such things and just hope it never happens to us. But Father, break through that resistance, and help us instead to say, yes, Lord, yes. Lord, we give thanks for this man from the court of Candace who met Jesus, who got baptized, who took the joy of the Lord back to him. Thank you for including him in your family when others were not inclined to do so. Thank you for including us. Thank you for those people who reached into the lives of our family members or reached directly into our lives by revealing truth to us. Father, bless them for saying yes. Bless Ruth Crow for knocking on my mom's door and inviting her to church. And Father, bless each one of us when we say yes and follow your leading. And Father, I just thank you that it's so fulfilling to do the things that you ask us to do. May we say yes, and may we experience all the fullness of your blessings in our lives. We take just a moment to pray for the people that we're going to encounter this week. And would you prepare us to be your servants, that when you say, get up and go, may it be said of us that we got up and went. And we ask these things in Jesus' powerful name. And everyone said, amen. Let's stand together and let's declare our faith before we go. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Now go as the Spirit leads you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.